Lindsay Atwood, and this is the Steven Universe Podcast. We've been talking about people and places that make up the Steven Universe world, and today we're going to be focusing on Peridot, who's voiced by the crazy talented Shelby Rabara. Shelby and storyboard artist Amber Craig will be here to talk about what they love the most about Peridot, how she's grown and changed over the course of the show, and where she fits in with the other Gems and Steven. Creator Rebecca Sugar and former executive producer Ian Jones-Cordy are also going to come back to talk about Peridot's creation, like what inspired her character traits, her design, and we're going to find out why she calls everybody a clod. And, of course, Peridot herself will be here to answer some fan questions as well. So, starting us off, Shelby Rabara and Amber Craig. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
I am good. So, Peridot's latest arc has been a bit of a doozy. It's been... Whew.
I like that, Mackenzie, doozy.
That's the perfect word for it. I'm hurt. The back to the kindergarten... Well, first of all, raising the barn, which Lapis left, Peridot's wreck.
I know.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah. and then back to the kindergarten when, you know, Peridot attempts to get her life back together and everything falls apart.
Very much so.
But there's a good message. So, like, what do you guys think that the message, like, is for these episodes, like, for both kids and adults?
Sometimes your life falls apart. And other times, your life gets scooped up and flown away, and you just have to keep rolling.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches, you know? I think when I watched it, when I saw Peridot, obviously I knew it was gonna happen, but it was so long ago that we recorded. I always watch new episodes as if it's the first time me knowing what's going to happen to Peridot and Lapis and Steven. So it has me in suspense when I watch it. You know, months after we record it, because I forget a lot what the storyline is. But when Peridot is so depressed after Lapis leaves and she's in the bathtub. That's my favorite face,
yeah,
by the way.
Paul drew that.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. It reminded me of times in my life that I've gotten like really, really low and you feel like you just can't keep going. Like, everybody knows what it's like to feel sad. And then, you know, you have your friends pick you up again and, you know, spread positivity and you're like, okay, whatever, like, I'll go along with it. I love it when she's like, can I bring my music?
That was one of my favorite things. Amethyst shutting her down.
Like, yeah, and she's like, no.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Don't bring any sadness with you.
Yeah. And then, you know, she goes back to the kindergarten and she sees that one flower and she's like, okay, maybe there is. And Amethyst helps, Amethyst and Steven help her figure out, like, no, you can still grow things here. It's still, we could still make something that's really dead alive. And so Peridot's like, okay. And then there's that tipping point where she trusts them. Because Peridot doesn't trust a lot of people. She trusts them. And then when she finds out that it's a monster, she's like, I knew it. Nothing grows here. And she has such a outburst that I think all of us, no matter what age you are, as an adult or a child or a teenager, we all have outbursts. And for me, seeing that, I'm like, yeah, it's so true. It's like you could have hope, and then you get disappointed by that one thing. And then it's all over. Mm-hmm. It's all over. And then with the help of friends, you're like, no, it's actually not that bad. Sometimes I feel like hope comes in the form of others, even though inside you have it. But sometimes you just need those friends to like lean on. And that was something that like resounded with me in Back to the Kindergarten. And I think it was a great lesson to know that sometimes it's okay to ask for help. Sometimes it's okay to lean on somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I think another lesson I really like from that episode is Peridot is someone that has tremendous energy and like tremendous ability to do things with that energy, but a lot of times she can invest too much of it in the wrong space.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, especially with Lapis, she definitely tried so hard to make sure everything was perfect that it ended up being a catastrophe, mm-hmm. which wasn't entirely her fault. It was definitely like, two Gems is not talking, and then they not talked so much that it escalated quickly. And I think that showing, like, Peridot, and I think it's very good that Amethyst and Steven both encouraged her to try to fix the kindergarten, because that was another, like, you know, like putting so much effort into something and nothing comes of it. And mm-hmm. it's another good thing. It's like, even though your friends are trying to help you move on, sometimes even that doesn't work. And that's okay. Like investing a bunch of time and energy into something and then nothing grows from it. That's fine. Just you have to know when to like move on to greener pastures, which was the end point of the whole show, is them deciding to plant plants somewhere yeah, where they can grow.
I think it's like a good shift in perspective too.
Yes.
You know, it's like when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, you can't get your hopes up and just like be so focused on just this one thing. And if this one thing doesn't work out, it's over. Mm-hmm, you know, right. And that's how Peridot thought.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on the train, I love that shot where they're going and
it's like, so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Katie drew that.
With the music and everything. It's so great.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it too came down to like it. Sometimes it's the wrong person, sometimes it's the wrong time. I feel mm-hmm. like, you know,
oh,
but
yeah.
you can't, like you said, be hyper fixated on it because there's a whole world around, no matter what the problem you're facing is. There's been a lot of development with Peridot's like feelings toward Earth a lot too, I think, and that mm-hmm. was sort of that shot reminded me of that as well, as like thinking about her view when she came first to Earth and she was like, this planet is disgusting, you know, like yeah. and then she's like, oh wow, look at the beautiful sunset, you know, and it's mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. let's see how far we've come, you know. Do you think that her view of like Earth, you know, she talks about liking Earth and the living things there, how much of that do you think is tied to like her actually loving just the entire Earth versus like her just like loving the people there?
I think it's, you know, a little bit of both, but I think it comes down to her experiences with how mm-hmm. the other gems have treated her. I think she finally let in, you know, people into her emotional calculating side, to her brain. So I think a lot of it, not only, I mean, you know, she still calls people clods all the time, you know, but I think it has to do with in her experiences of calling Yellow Diamond a clod and seeing the other gems stick up for her and, you know, everything that she's experiencing, like kind of exploring who she is as this outer of space, like, you know, it's a little space Dorito. I think just she has empathy, and I think that's what makes her really love the people on Earth, and therefore that's why she loves Earth, is because it represents to her where all of those relationships happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like where you go somewhere and, I don't know, like your favorite ice cream shop, and you're like, oh, I remember like having that experience with someone, pistachio ice cream,
mm-hmm.
and forever that is like a memory to you.
Yeah.
I feel like with Peridot, that's what has kind of become her memory capsule. Earth is her happy memory capsule, where she's like become independent, told Yellow Diamond that to go away. So for her, Earth is home and the gems are her home.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the beginning, yeah, she just, through the crystal gem, she found her roots, and now whether she likes it or not, she cares enough to stay.
Yeah. Yeah. Deeply.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys, you talked about her relationships with the other gems and sort of the way that the Earth ties into that. How do you think that her own, like her view of herself ties in with the gems? Because I found like there's like a lot of parallels between her and like the others, like, you know, the whole amethyst being defective thing and Peridot sort of, I don't know, it seems like she's like putting her down to make herself feel better, which is, you know, a thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about that?
I think that Peridot as a homeworld gem, coming to Earth and then seeing all of these people who just refuse to follow the rules that were the only thing she lived by for so long, I think a lot of the time she's... I really like how she sort of noticed how different everyone is and was upset and, like, outraged by it at times, especially with Pearl. But in time, she sort of realized that she can be more of herself, too. And I think that they are fantastic examples for her that definitely are rubbing off and helping her like become more and bigger. Does that answer the question? I think that, I don't know.
No, it does.
She did a great job with that.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
The crystal gems are like the perfect, they're like the friend group that you make, the very first friend group that you're like, oh, I can be myself.
Yeah, like because,
around them.
Because everybody fit, you know, to Peridot, I think everybody kind of fits this idea of, mm-hmm. you know, like how you have like the funny friend, mm-hmm. the quirky friend, the quiet friend, the one that's outspoken, you know, like in every, in a, yeah. you know, and people can all be all those aspects, but there's usually the one person that's like, oh, if we get in trouble, that person's going to stick up for us first, you know? So for the gems, Peridot, you know, is like, well, you're just a pearl. Like, that's what you do. Amethyst, you're not perfect, but that's okay. That's okay. Like, but you're still fierce. Like, but that's okay. I know where you came out of, and I know why you are the way you are. And Garnet, you know, like, she's made up of two gems. So in her head, she has to compartmentalize, like, mm-hmm. what each gem does. And, you know, Steven, you know, she has a soft spot in her heart for Steven. But I think she's been surprised on how they, like, you know, Garnet asking her to dance. She's like, what? And she allows, she agrees to it. She surrenders and she's like, okay, like, I'll try. Then she's like, never mind. No, never again. Never again. Like, I feel dirty. Never again am I going to, you know, try to attempt to dance with Garnet, like the Garnet, you know? But what's great about Peridot is that she tried. Like, mm-hmm. she's like, oh, okay. And, you know, even though she's like, oh, the Pearl, obviously she still sees Pearl as like, oh, wow, like, Pearl's, you know, she has her strengths as well. And I think the way she looks at the Earth, she's been surprised. Like, Peridot has had so many surprises throughout all of the story storylines that it is one of those things where it's like, she's surprised that the Earth can create such amazing flowers in the sky and rain. I think it's a great parallel of how she feels about the Earth with the crystal gems, like always being surprised about discovering new aspects of them.
Surprised at the depth.
Yeah, surprised at the depth, absolutely.
The actual depth as well, since she drilled into the air.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Literally and figuratively.
No, I think that, like, Peridot also is, like, a reminder for me, like, that, like, I feel like seeing someone else look at all these things for the first time makes you realize, oh, that is pretty cool. I guess rain's pretty neat, you know? Like,
mm-hmm. it's like, mm-hmm. I think what's so fun about her is that the first time she got around people who encourage letting you be however you are, she just, like, goes ham.
It's yeah.
She really, like, spins out of control. She's awesome. She's so fun. Like, the shipping charts on the show, watching it for a weekend straight, knowing all the words, getting super invested in just everybody, like, stomping around, calling herself the leader of the Crystal Gems in front of everybody else. It's just, it's so fun, like, that she's allowed to go so out of line, and they accept it and love it about her.
Yeah, and it's never like
it's never like, stop it, Peridot. You're yes. being too weird.
Yes.
Like, then no one will ever say that, ever. Unless they're an antagonist.
Right.
She really did have, an identity crisis there.
She did. People go through that all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
When they realize, like, oh, this isn't who I am at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, I'm not.
I feel as if, no, never mind. That would be a whole manifesto. I was just going to say, I feel as if people think they can only change who they are when they're a child or when they're going through puberty or something like
right,
that.
Right.
But that's so not true. You can reinvent yourself every day if you want. I mean, that would be very exhausting, but you
right,
can.
Right,
and Peridot does.
Like, yeah, and you change every day based on experience.
Yeah.
You're not going to stay the same. You know, ideas change the way you perceive things, the way things affect you. Yeah, I think Peridot's really a great character to see that change in, like, how things, she let people affect her, like, she mm-hmm. let people in, and that's really hard. That was hard for her. I think it's hard for people to let people in, like, in general, you know, to be so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I guess it was nice. I think that's why people really liked Peridot, even when she was having these fits, is because she was vulnerable and we understood why she was having those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think that the Peridot's taught the other gems? Like, we talked about how they've taught her things, but what do you think that she's, like, brought to that table?
Mm-hmm. I feel as if Peridot holds... She definitely holds such, like, extreme, like, importance as just, like... Like, she's the new Crystal Gif. She's, like... She's the first of... Like, Lapis, I believe, stayed pretty neutral, but... She became, like, a crystal gem and was part of some... I think just showing that there are new people who need their help, and she's just one Peridot, but even that changes so much just watching a person grow. I think she's a mascot. She's energy. She's support. She's Everybody loves Paradise.
She is
the greatest lovable Paradise. She's their morale, I feel as if.
Yeah, yeah. And I think she kind of gave the other gems the nudge to just go with it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're feeling something, you just go with it.
Yeah.
You know, don't hesitate, because she,
that's true.
She like doesn't hesitate in how she feels or what she's going to say. You know, if there's something there, she's one of the first people to be like, she doesn't cover it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the gems in the other episodes, I think they take a nod from her and be like, yeah, yeah, you know?
That's true. It's like, I think about like the development that we've seen Garnet go through, where she's sort of slowly letting people in to behind the, you know, the stone wall or whatever. And then Pearl and Amethyst, I feel like, are doing the same thing. They both have their sort of facades they put up. But I didn't ever consider that Peridot would have been, like, a part of that. But it makes a lot of sense, because they kind of definitely coincide.
I feel as if, as well, like, before they met Peridot, they were extremely cautious, especially with Homeworld. But then Peridot is just, like, this big, like icebreaker of a character.
That's a great way to put it, icebreaker. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to invite Peridot to a party.
I do too.
I miss her. She needs it right now. Like, it's a mess.
It is. I'm concerned. I'm very concerned.
So my last question I have for you guys is, so we learned from Lamar and Rebecca a while back that Garnet and Greg play tennis on the weekends. Do you guys have any ideas what you think Peridot would be doing? Like, if you... It's not like canon or anything. We're just like imagining what Peridot would do with other characters, like for fun.
Oh, if I could just imagine what Peridot does on her weekends. Oh, well, I would like to imagine she argues with people on the internet and is like a pro gamer on something like Farmville or something. Like, really, like Claude Farmer 3000. I'm the top guy. I've held the position for 3 months, Lapis. I can't leave the computer. Or like, I feel as if she also tries to make lots of vlogs but doesn't know how to edit.
What's up, TubeTubers?
Yes, Peridot.
She, like, could you imagine Peridot trying to learn Adobe After Effects or just anything? Like, it's not happening.
She'd have, like, huge fits.
I feel as if she would love to be a content creator. I just don't think that she can. Or maybe that's what she's doing. She's taking an After Effects class. That's what I say.
Yeah. I have ideas that she really enjoys on the weekends, doing random art installations. That, like, I kind of see her, like, maybe on, like, Santa Monica, you know, promenade, blending in with a tree and, like, not blinking, like, staying there for a really long time. And, you know, like, I don't know, somebody come and be like, Peridot, and she's like, shh, I'm busy right now. You know, like, and she's just committing to it.
Oh,
or just, like, in, I don't know, like, she's, like, in the Gap and she's, like, trying to be a mannequin, you know, things like that. Or like, she's at the food court, like, eating French fries, and she's just, like, dipped in ketchup and she's, like, waiting. And then she uses her metal powers to, like, levitate plates. And she just likes to, she likes a lot of attention, I would feel like.
You think she's like David Blaining it out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
She doesn't have to breathe or eat either. She could be there for weeks.
Oh, like, that's what I mean. Like, commitment.
I definitely agree she's, like, doing a lot of deep rabbit hole type of activities. Like, she's not like, oh, I thought I'd dip my toe into community theater. She's like doing three roles in a thing and has written it herself.
And she, like, takes all the credit. She won't collab with anybody. It's just her. She doesn't let anybody in. Like, she'll just be in a conversation and all of a sudden just, like, freeze. I'd be like, okay, and just shh. That's what she does.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's art.
It's art. I love that.
She doesn't let anyone in. You say, that's beautiful. I say.
That's beautiful. Because she's so committed to her art at that time.
Exactly.
All right.
I love that.
That's pretty
good. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for coming and talking to
me. Of course. Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering why Peridot calls everybody a Claude, you'll find out next when Rebecca Sugar and Ian Jones Cordy return to the podcast to give us an inside look at the creation of Peridot. All right, I am back with Ian JQ and Rebecca Sugar talking today about Peridot. Thank you guys so much for coming back.
Yeah.
Let's jump right in. Peridot is a character that was obviously not introduced originally, but how early, like, had you guys started conceiving of her?
Oh, it was pretty early on.
It was pretty early. Can I talk about goofy alien stuff?
Sure.
I had a bit that I used to do in the writer's room about, like, yes, human, I will have some of your Earth snacks. Like, doing, like, all these dumb alien things and being like, why don't we put an alien in the show? It's like, what is this? Love human, you know, like doing all this.
Yeah,
like, and like Peridot actually was like very much like kind of tied into some of those ideas.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would say that Claude thing. Yeah, that came from Ian.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were watching the. Can I tell the story?
I guess so.
It's we were watching the new Cosmos.
Yes. And wait, was it that?
Yes, it was that.
It was.
I'm
okay.
positive.
Okay. No, I thought we were watching the original Cosmos.
No. Well, we watched the original. Like
yes.
Like 9 years ago, we watched the original Cosmos. Yeah. Ian introduced it to me.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it. So we're both big Cosmos fans. And then we're watching the new Cosmos.
How does that timeline track?
Well, one of the things that we love about the original Cosmos is just like how everything is explained as beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's never a point where it sort of gets upset at someone who can't appreciate the material. It's just positive.
Yeah. It's just positive.
Like, look at the beauty of the fabric of reality of the science behind how everything functions when your hand hits a table or when you go, you know, a billion trillion years out into the universe and look back on Earth. Like everything's just so beautiful. And we were watching the new Cosmos, which is also just super good, when it was new. So I guess that would, we'd know whenever that is when we were coming up with
I'm
early
looking
Peridot
it up.
Stuff.
I'm like a little confused.
It couldn't have been
the new one because that
with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That was 2014.
2014?
I think I know what it was.
What was it?
I think it was like...
It was totally that.
It wasn't. It came before.
No.
We were watching... It was like one of those Richard Dawkins things.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
This one is 2014. But this was the same thing.
Anyway,
we loved Cosmos and how like it made you fall in love with the idea of like science and the physical world and the universe and how beautiful that was.
Uh-huh.
But then there were also like the other side of like that angry like
where people like get really mad at religion
and
are like frustrated with people who don't understand evolution.
So that's where it came from.
Yeah, and you would do this voice of like a frustrated liberal.
It was like, I can't remember what it was. It was like someone would be like, but the Earth was created in 7 days. It's like, no, it wasn't, you Claude.
evolution is real,
Claude. And it would just be like this.
Which is like, I think evolution is a beautiful concept.
Of
I don't know.
Course.
I don't know. If I should be.
But it
anyway,
was just
but
like
it's like
playoff of like the person the, who's like
people who would get really mad. About
they want to.
Yeah.
They want to win you over to their side, but they're so mean about it
that it's like who would possibly want?
Like right, I don't want to be on the same side as someone who's just like insulting the other side. Like that's all they're doing.
I mean,
and,
if,
like
if it's
that's
not,
what it was.
If it's not apparent from the television show that we made, we like to very, very gently
be gentle.
Explain why caring about people who are different from yourself benefits everyone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which, so that's why this is sort of...
This is like the exact
This would
opposite.
Be the opposite of that. Even though we would agree with these points of view, it's not a gentle way... And that was
the kind of bit where
to
it was
try and
just
like bring someone over to
all cultures are valid, you Claude.
exactly.
Like, why don't you respect me, Claude? It became this thing.
Yeah. So Ian would do this voice. I would just laugh and laugh and laugh. This was before Peridot existed.
Yeah.
This is way before Peridot.
This is way before. Yeah.
So there was that, and then I think Peridot. Oh, I think Ellie Mahalka, our art director, was like, let's have a gem named Peridot. That's like, so we knew we wanted to make a gem named Peridot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing that was older than Peridot was I really wanted to have like Stephen being like bullied online. Like
even getting cyberbullied.
Yeah.
What?
This is very weird. This is very old.
Really how does old it, idea. Yeah.
And then meeting the person, and then they're really not the person you would expect. This is, that was like an idea that went nowhere, but it kind of didn't because that's who Peridot is.
She limit hands. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's doing that. We just found a really fantasy way to express that. Mm-hmm.
It's like when someone who's really far away feels really comfortable threatening you. And that's exactly what Peridot did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was far away. She was threatening. She was mean about everything. Mm-hmm. And then when you see them in real life, you're like, oh, you're a person, you know?
Yeah. You're a very mean person.
Yeah.
But you are like a person.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so that was like
another early
concept that got sort of folded into Peridot.
And then the other thing I can think of was we had a lot of ideas for like that first season, and a lot of them were about discovering the past of the gems. And then we were thinking that, oh, we need another thing where the gems are discovering a new thing that's happening in the present. And suddenly Peridot became the exact right character to do that with, because this was someone new in the present who the gems didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And discovering what was going on with her, like, which episode is... Oh, it's Marble Madness, where by the time you get to Marble Madness, if you've never seen the show before, that's maybe the worst episode to start on, because it's all...
Everything is referencing other
things. Everything is, like, you're figuring out new things based on old things. It's like...
I loved that.
And Peridot was like...
We got the work print back on that. Yeah. We were watching it with Ben and Matt.
Yeah.
And they were just looking at this thing, and they were just like, what is this? What did we make? Everything is so, at that point, inside of itself. Yeah. I was so proud of
that. And Peridot was a big part of, like, the idea that there would be new things for the gems to discover, you know, new fights for them to fight, that kind of stuff.
But still unearthing, like, old skeletons in the closet they didn't want to talk about, it felt like.
Yeah, it would all kind of relate to the history of gems, but
I think, you know, she also, like, she subscribes to this system super hard, so like, and to her it just makes total sense.
Yeah, she was a true believer in the way gems were just supposed to be.
And to this was a little based off of interactions I would sort of have with other kids
as a
Jewish kid, because like people would feel really comfortable just like telling me that, you know, everything I believed was just completely wrong, and I was, you know, horrible things were going to happen to me. and like I understood, like I was like, okay, that, you know, you like this person really believes they're helping me out.
Yeah,
I thought that so that's sort of interesting. And I thought about that a lot with Peridot, is like she really believes in this system and that it's good for everyone. And she's only just meeting people for whom it's not good, where it failed them. And that's sort of what her arc is like, really getting to know them and realizing like, oh, you don't fit into this structure that I believe in so much. But I think that's also the thing that makes Peridot really likable, is that she seems like she is... like really conceited,
but
she's not. She's a grunt. She's like basically a janitor.
She's just given herself over to a higher power.
Yeah, she believes in something that is so much bigger than her, and she thinks that it's good for everybody.
Yeah,
I say maybe not janitor. She's like she's a maintenance worker.
Yeah,
right. She's like there to fix the warps. She's not an important gem, and she knows that, and she's fine with that, because as far as she's concerned, that's just how it works, and everyone else should understand that they're not important too, because that is just how it is, and anything else is just some sort of weird denial.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that, you know, as she's sort of realizing that the system doesn't work as well as she thought it did, that there's all this stuff that's going on Earth that really doesn't make the kind of sense that everything was supposed to make. And she thinks it should be very easy. Like the understanding she has of how Homeworld works is that they're going to want to do the most efficient...
Right.
the most efficient thing possible, the best thing that's best for everyone, which is what she's telling everyone. She's like, don't you understand that you're going against the thing that's best for everyone?
Yeah.
And then she's faced with the fact that that's not how it works, that it's really just a horrible, oppressive
system. And then she realizes that she is one of these people too. who falls outside the system.
Yeah, and now it's failing her.
Now, and the system's now failing her. And I think that's something that... I think Peridot's arc is something that kind of happens to a lot of people when you believe in just the way that things are. And then you eventually find... You meet someone where the way that things are is bad for them. And you have to change your thinking.
Yeah, but that's not easy. It takes a while, and people get hurt.
Yeah,
like, and
that's why.
Hopefully, you stick it out and like start to really get.
Not through. Everybody sticks it out, but that's why Peridot is like throwing tantrums for right. most of her arc. Yeah. She's just like rolling around in the dirt.
You would just stick in line, then everyone would be fine.
Yeah,
no, I really like that. Do you think that the her understanding of the world, is that something that they like drill into people, like to the gems, I mean, or is that something like, you know, since they pop out of the ground fully grown, do they already have that conditioning built in?
That's like a bigger question about the nature of gems that do we even have time to get into?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
I'd say it's some of both. But
some of both.
Yeah.
Right.
Peridot, it's obvious that as a maintenance worker, who really believed in the system. She also, I don't think she had time to think about her belief in the system at all. Everything was kind of study for her, which is why she knows how to fix things, but then she also knows about kindergartens. She knows a lot about her system, but she never questioned it.
I think she's also, like, she had to do a lot of research to go from place to place, and I think especially with Homeworld, but this is also just something that happens in reality, that history has been very revised to make them look as good as possible and make everything that they did make sense. Mm-hmm. You know,
why would she question it? She's
coming to Earth, she has this information about what happened there, and it all makes sense to her because it's been given to her from a very specific point of view.
Right.
And that's not the Crystal Gems point of view.
Yeah.
It just falls apart when she realizes,
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys so much for coming on and talking to me.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Sure.
And as promised, Peridot is here and she's coming up next.
All right, I am here with Peridot. Peridot, thank you so much for coming on and talking to me.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Mackenzie.
Of course. So we have a few questions I'm going to run through from different people, some of them from me, some of them from fans on Twitter. So I'm going to...
I know that like the thing with the bird on it.
Yes, the bird social network, yes.
Yeah, I like writing on that thing. It's fun.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, getting permission to write on the bird Twitter thing.
Yeah, you always get permission, right? I mean, I've heard rumors that you forcibly took over Cartoon Network's social media channels. Is that?
I wouldn't call it that forcibly. I just basically did it because I felt like it. But I mean, who needs permission these days? I mean, please, I'm Peridot. Hello.
Yeah, it's fair. You are the number one cartoon character according to that post that.
Did you see that Shelby Rivara? She congratulated me. Oh, my God. I got to talk to Shelby Rivara. Oh, my God.
That must have been amazing.
It was. But I don't think she knew that I proclaimed that about myself.
I self-proclaimed
myself number one cartoon character on the Tweet Birdie thing. So I'm very proud of that. So Shelby Rivara, if you are listening, I self-proclaimed that. Thanks for congratulating me.
Okay. We have another question from Gina, who asked, would you ever consider leading another adventure as the Crystal Temps?
Oh, I love being the Crystal Temps. I mean, everybody knows that I am the Garnet, the best one. I'm not as good as the Garnet. But I think Lapis and Connie and myself, I think we would be really, really great at baking cakes, specifically ube cakes with Lars.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So would Pumpkin accompany you on that one, or would Lars take the place of Pearl?
Oh, no. Pumpkin definitely would be by my side. Who's going to lick up the extra ube cake when it... I don't wash floors. That's what pearls do.
Right. Understandable. That, yeah. So I have another question. Speaking of food, if you could eat anything, what would you want to try first? Cookie Cats, Fry Bits, or something else?
I would definitely try Fry Bits because there's something about the oil bubbling really violently that makes it really, really neat to watch. And apparently when I watch Steven eat the Fry Bits, he makes this loud noise. So I'm interested in how many loud noises I can make all at the same time.
It's mostly an auditory.
It's absolutely auditory.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Another question. What is objectively the best earth pet? So there's dogs, cats, hamsters. Are you familiar with those?
Creatures? What is the difference between a hamster and, what was the other one? Cats?
They are larger, and they would probably eat a hamster. Hamsters are kind of like,
oh my god, they eat a hamster. Cats eat hamsters.
I mean, they eat mice, which are related to hamsters. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I ate a cookie cat, so was I eating a cat, a real cat?
No. No, that is a separate thing.
Ooh,
yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that is.
Are dogs loyal?
They are. That is their main feature.
Okay. Well, Pumpkin is super loyal to me. So if Pumpkin's anything like an earth dog, I would have to say my final answer would be the best earth pet is a dog if it's remotely anywhere near Pumpkin.
100% agree. Pumpkin is very precious. We have another question from Emerald Skies. What is a piece of earth fashion that you've always wanted to try on?
Is there something called vinyl?
Yes.
On earth? Vinyl? Yes. I would like to try on some vinyl pants.
Oh.
Yes, very shiny. It. I don't know if they're easy to walk in, but something about the vinyl, the scratchy sound it makes. Don't earth people put music on vinyl, or am I getting that mixed up with a round thing?
Yeah, they're both called vinyl. I can understand it's a different, they're not on the pants. There's no music in the pants.
There should be music in the pants.
I agree. Maybe that should be the next step.
Is that something that I can contribute to earth, making vinyl music pants that can play music while you walk?
I think that's definitely something you should look into.
Peridot is going to own vinyl music pants.
I look forward to getting a pair.
Me too. Me too, Mackenzie.
Okay, another question is, what is your favorite part about being a farmer?
It is just so amazing to have my hands in the dirt. I love the smell of dirt. I love those white little rock thingies that are supposedly help with water drainage. I really enjoy that something like soil has striations in it. Just like rock, you have to put the bottom layer with rocks, and then you have to put some mulch on top, and then on top of that more dirt, and then more rocks on top. So, you know, there is definitely a way to create soil that has good drainage, has all the yummy stuff for all these flowers and fruits and vegetables to grow in. So I really do believe being a farmer is something that is just ingrained in me.
You take it seriously.
I take it very seriously. I am mulching every other day, Mackenzie.
Wow.
I'm getting bags of mulch. Pumpkin always likes to eat the mulch, and that's a problem. That's a big problem, eating mulch.
I feel like that would be a problem for multiple reasons, because
if you could imagine.
Yeah.
Pumpkins and mulch do not mix.
Yeah, let's change the subject.
Thank you.
Yeah, just want to save us from that. So the last question I have is from Maya, and it's, if you had a podcast, what would you make yours about?
This is a great question. I'm going to need a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we're doing right now, a podcast where people listen to us in our podcast.
Yes.
I be able to have guests come on my podcast?
Yeah, you could have guests on the podcast.
I watched an episode of Mr. Rogers one time.
Okay.
Steven was watching it, so I got to watch it as well. And other than Camp Pining Hearts, you know, that's still my number one show. Mr. Rogers has all these people come on the show and talk about how they make things, mm-hmm. like mozzarella cheese.
Okay.
One time, this man came on the show and showed how they made mozzarella cheese and stretched it with their hands and put it in the water after molding it into little balls. I would really like to have maybe, you know, the inventor of yellow Post-it sticky pads. I would just want to know people's thought processes. Like, what makes that glue on the top of the Post-it note? Mm-hmm. How does a microphone work? Here's one. Who invented the button? I don't have any buttons on my clothes, obviously. But Steven one time wore a polo shirt with a button. And I was fixated with this little tiny round thing with four holes.
Right.
I would like to know who made that button.
Who's behind it?
Yeah. Who are the great minds behind earthling things?
I'm thinking that, I mean, buttons have probably been around for a while. I don't know that the person who made buttons is still with us. If you know what I'm getting at.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I think that the mozzarella cheese thing sounds great.
Where do people go? Is that for the next podcast?
Yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me, Faradon.
Thank you, Mackenzie. Thanks for everyone listening out there. And we'll talk about next time where the person who created buttons went.
The Steven Universe podcast is produced by Stacey Pera, Charles Abadje, and Conrad Montgomery. Special thanks to Rob Sorcher, Cartoon Network Studios, The Crooniverse, and Turner Studios in Atlanta. Join me next Thursday as we take a closer look at Pearl, which means that both Dee Dee Magno-Hall and Michaela Dietz are going to be back on the show. And we'll have Rebecca Sugar and Ian Jones-Cordy again to give us a behind-the-scenes look at Pearl's creation. And Pearl and Amethyst are supposed to be here, too. So, you know we're going to ask Pearl if she ever plans on getting her driver's license. So, subscribe to the Steven Universe podcast now at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And please leave us a 5-star rating and review while you're there. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I'll see you next Thursday.